Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the spot where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, brains. There's only one requirement to hang out on the edge, is that you open your big brain and close your small mind. Did you bring your thinking caps? It's time to put them on, because the conversation starts now.
Rasheed, we were talking in the green room, and you were talking about football, Australian football there. I saw some girls on the TV playing that rugby. What is that? That is some rough stuff. They had no helmets. They had no pads. They all fight and wrestle in the middle of the field for the ball. I don't understand anything about that. And you said that season's about to start there in March, right?
Yes, every season. So there's two. This going to be the third season of the Women Football League as well, as it's just started to happen. But Australian football has got a history of 150 years. Oh. So it started with the Victorian Football League, which used to be a vacation time for the cricket players.
Okay.
So cricket is, you know, the predominant sport in Australia. But what happened when there was a break? So cricket is played in the summers. So to keep the cricketers fit, what they did, they started playing football, like an Aussie football. They started playing with kind of a rugby ball, but it's a little different ball too. So they started playing in the winter season. And that's how the history starts with Victorian Football League. And then later on, almost everyone in Australia adopted that sport and it became Australian Football League. So AFL, it's called. It's the largest sport in Australia, you can say, by following.
Well, because of COVID, are they still going to open it up? Because they don't want people in close proximity. And they look like they're pretty close playing that football.
Because it's a close body, you know, impact sport. So the play goes on its own. Like so they need to do all the precautions, what needs to happen before the sports goes into. But when it goes for the people, for the audience or for the spectators, they're still finding out the ways and means of how many spectators they can fit in. Because in every single game, there's more than 50,000 people turn up for the game.
Wow.
So they need to find out how many people they can allow to sit in the grounds and watch the game.
Well, it's good to get that information because that's what we're going to talk about, brains, right here on the edge. Oops, got card upside down.
Hello,
the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp. There he is right there, and the responses are never dull. We've got Rasheed Khan, and we're going to talk about emergencies and evacuations and this dynamite application that he has for the phone that I believe, you know what, I'm a brain, that is revolutionary. I want you to pay close attention. So many of us, any of us can be caught in a dangerous situation, not know what to do, not know how to evacuate. I mean, we just had that horrible fire in New York City. 19 people were killed, a space heater, and 11 of them were children, and they were trapped. They couldn't get out. The doors didn't automatically close the way that they should. But Rasheed is not only a brilliant now technological innovator when it comes to software and applications, but he was also a first responder and he's been there and he's saved lives. So I want you to pay attention, brains, because we're going to go over a lot of critical information that is very, very valuable. Help me welcome him to the edge. How you doing, Rasheed?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much, April, for having me. And thank you so much for introducing me to the brains.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, brains, I need you to pay attention to this. It's about our survival on many, many levels. So dial back. Tell us a little bit about, you know, your story, your history, and what brought you to this particular point.
If I start with my story starts in 1988. I was only 9 years old when I came across a sad incident, an emergency incident. I wasn't feeling well on that day. It was a Sunday. It wasn't a public holiday in those days. We're talking in 1980s in Pakistan. And my parents let me stay at home. Suddenly I started hearing these whistling noises going in the air. I thought there was some rockets going by. And then I start screams coming from a nearby school. There was a small primary school in front of my place. And I started hearing those screams. I simply ran out. My instinct kicked in to save people and to save kids. And even a 9-year-old kid, I started guiding these small kids towards their homes, towards their safety. I saved around 18 kids on that day and guided them towards their homes. While I was guiding them towards their homes, my parents were looking for me because they were worried where I was. When they found me well, they were really relieved. And that was my first encounter to any emergency, a big emergency. Sadly, more than 192 people died that day. Yeah. More than 1,000 people were injured because of an explosion in the city.
Wow.
And that explosion was not the only cause of death or injuries. The major factor which I can now relate to is miscommunication or no communication at all. Mm-hmm. People didn't know where to go. They were actually moving towards the danger because they didn't know that where the explosion is coming from. And that was another cause of a lot of deaths. But, you know, the life goes on. I keep on studying. That incident kind of sit in the back of my mind. And then kind of, you know, you go into your own life of, you know, studying and going into your career. And in 2005, came to Australia. You know, I become a resident of Australia. I came to Australia. And up till 2011, I was doing different roles, multiple roles in one of the largest bank in Australia. So second largest bank in Australia. And I was, you know, made an emergency manager for the bank. So, you know, that's how the life guides you towards your actual purpose. And I totally believe in that. That's, you know, it's kind of guidance from above, which guides your path, which guides your purpose. By 2011, when I became an emergency manager, I started to seeing the same patterns of, you know, how the miscommunications can happen, how people are not really aware of what needs to be done within an emergency. No matter how much training you provide them, when the real emergency occurs, everything just goes out of the room.
Oh yeah, you draw a blank because you're paranoid, you're panicked, you don't know what to do, and that's what I try to do when something happens and I'm really nervous. I always try to tell myself, don't overthink it. Go by your instincts and go by the facts. But sometimes you can't do that. I mean, you look at things, the tragedy like the World Trade Center. You know, well, how do you do this? The fire that just happened in New York, a common house fire. Unfortunately, here we've had mass shootings in elementary schools. You know, the parents don't know if the children are okay. They don't know where the active shooter is. They don't know if the doors are shut. They don't know how to get emergency vehicle or emergency personnel into these places because they don't know the layout. And I'm so excited about this, Brains. I just really, really, I'm telling you, I have really put it on my vision board for them to succeed because I used to be the outreach coordinator for the American Red Cross. And my job was to go out and teach individuals how to survive in the midst of a disaster really quickly. They don't have their medications written down. They don't have enough water to sustain them for 3 days. They don't have money. They don't have their documents. They don't have an evacuation plan. They don't know how to get, you know, and I have been trampled, Rashid, three times in a major event. And I'm always, when I go somewhere, I'm looking for the exit. I'm standing near the exit. How do I get out? So that, and also it's the ripple effect, like you said, of the emergency. It's not just the earthquake, But now you have gas lines. Now you have down phone lines. Now you have contaminated water. Now you have no food. So it's one thing after another. And to be able to have a line of communication with first responders that have a blueprint of where you are is revolutionary. And this can be from the most smallest intimate thing to a big, like you said, a big bank or a big high rise. You have to have that. And I want you to take this back over. I'm going to share my screen. He's going to be co-hosting. He's going to walk us a little bit through this application as to how it works and what it looks real time. And Brains, the application going on your phone. On your phone. I'm so proud of you. I am. Okay. So you had this situation when you worked for the bank, but you were involved in another emergency that you responded to and helped some people to. Tell us a little bit about that.
So what happened, I was keep on developing, I was doing a lot of R&D on, you know, how this needs to be done, because we got systems in place which are over 100 years old, you know, mm-hmm. that things have to change. I think the process has been really, really slow because there's a lot of lives involved and all that too. But I think the major impact is the mindset. I think we need to change the mindset a little bit to see the emergencies from a different angle, from a different point of view. And that is, you know, not just from who is within an emergency, but, you know, all the people who are indirectly impacting that emergency, who have the real value, and they can draw the value out of the system from these new applications and all that. You can draw the value out of that and can save someone's life. And that's the ultimate goal. On 20th of January, 2017, so it's 3 days to the fifth anniversary of that sad incident. There's an incident happened within Melbourne as well, where, you know, people were not aware of what is going to happen and how it is happening. And that incident drove me to a conclusion that, yes, there has to be a system in place. There has to be an app in place, or there has to be a software in place somewhere which can guide people, or which can guide the emergency responders, what needs to be done and how the buildings are looking like. So I will just quickly share my screen to show you how this system has got a kind of a replica for the emergency responders, where they see the building as a blueprint. They see how many people are still in the building. They see how the emergency is progressing right now. All of that in one go is hard to find. And simply, you know, today, in today's day, more than 90% of the population lives in one arm length of their mobile phone. So if you have
not even an arm's length, they're like this.
Yeah. So we got access to this wonderful technology which is available today. So why not use that for the betterment or for saving people? Because in a chaotic situation, people won't remember what they need to do. They won't remember the process at all. Or even if they remember, they will be partially remembering the process. So if we give them a handheld device, they already have a handheld device, right? So if we just hold their hand in that situation and just guide them through of what needs to be done at any single point, at any single, to break down the process and take them step by step to the safety, I think that's revolutionary. And that is what needs to happen.
But Brains, before he shares, I want you to understand, like you said, this is a lot of moving parts. You've got the owner of the building, you've got the first responders, you've got the tenants that are staying there, you've got maybe the fire department that's on hand, and you've got the emergency still in full bloom. So this is going to be able to give you an inside loop. And another thing, you got the media there. And you've got people that have family that are demanding information. Can you imagine how much information you can get expeditiously with an application like this? Okay, go ahead and take it over, Rashid. Show them what to do.
Thank you so much, April. I will just quickly share my screen and show you what my portal looks like. So this is just the one complete like synopsis of, you know, my simple portal, where you can see all of your assets in simply one go. This could be a city. This could be a small city council who's looking after all of their buildings. They can see all of their buildings in one go. So this is, we got an Australian map in here because we got buildings all across. So all of these buildings are, you know, one of your assets. You can click on any of that and you see how it looks like from compliance perspective. Do you have enough evacuation diagrams? Do you have enough fire equipment there? Do you have enough people who look have to look after the people and take them out? Do you have enough resources? All of that becomes part of compliance in Australia. So what we have done, we have combined every single asset which is related to emergency management and bring them to this one portal. And this portal then becomes the source of truth for brains. They can look through this and they say, yes, this is what I need to do to make sure that if any emergency occurs, I am covered. I will be looked after. And that just that one important aspect of safety within your mind can actually save you.
Of course, because you know that someone has the ability to get you. So, Brains, what I want you to do is, you know, this is an Australian map, but I want you just to imagine, you know, just close your eyes and imagine a big complex, your school, your hospital, your office building. Just imagine that that's one of your sites. And then Rashida is going to tell us what this, what these four areas up above are. And what,
so what we have done, we have created these wonderful apps. And we made these apps really, really simple because you don't want to complicate, you don't want to complicate any process because people's lives are in danger at that time. So we really break down all those processes into very small steps. And that's why it's a journey of taking people from the emergency situation to the safety. So all of that needs to have not only people being accounted for, and other part is making that visibility for the emergency response. So when responders come in, they don't have to look through all those books, you know, how the buildings look like, what, how many people are still in there. They still try to find out those data from the data sheets. It's a written handwork, you know, to find out how many people have got disability, how many people are on which floor. You're still counting those people. So what we have done, we have taken that responsibility off and given it to the app for the real-time data. So what you have right now is the real-time data within your hand to know exactly how many people are still in the building, how many people need to be taken care of, how many people are at emergency response point, all of that in just one go. So they can focus on the problem areas. So rather than thinking about, you know, 100 floors, now they know 50 floors have already gone out. They can focus on only 50 floors. And within the 50 floors, you still got the real-time data to show you how many people are in danger right now. And you can only focus on those people. So we have, what we have done a concentration point to where the problem lies, and then the emergency response can go in and fix that problem. Rather than they're looking the whole big, you know, the whole big city
there's problem.
So what we, with this real-time data, we have taken that, you know, we have concepted it that way, that the concentration is on the major point, on the major issue. So once they realize that this is the problem, they can quickly solve it because emergency responders are trained for that.
Right.
But we don't want them to distract everywhere. We just want them to concentrate on the problem brains.
You know, and then the cadaver dogs go in about 5 or 6 days later or 3 or 4 days later trying to find bodies when you could really have an idea. I love the fact that you would know if there are people there. Maybe someone's blind. Maybe someone is there in a wheelchair. You have an, you have access to them because they're trapped. They don't have any assistance.
Maybe someone is heavily pregnant.
Right. And then or, she cannot deaf. Right. Or deaf and can't hear, you know, or blind. And like I said, and can't see. So this takes the guesswork. Plus, again, I like to use the example of schools. Because of the logistics, you've got buildings over here, buildings over there. Some things have been modified. Like you said, these are handwritten blueprints that have been there since eons. So you and your team, you go in, you do kind of a survey, an eagle eye view. Then you go to all of these individual departments, the building inspector, maybe the water department, maybe the utility connection, maybe the fire department, and you get all of their information for a particular site.
Yes.
And you take all of this data and you put it in and you create, for the lack of a better term, a custom blueprint for that facility. And then that is downloaded into the telephone.
Into your mobile phone.
Into your mobile phone. Okay. Yes. Now, is this something like a subscription service that they would have to subscribe to? Or is this an app that they would have, you know, they pay a certain amount or whatever, and this is theirs, licensed for 3-5 years? How does that work a little bit?
So once we go into an organization, organizations, we would do an audit and highlight it. You know, we give them the low-hanging fruit of, you know, what needs to be done. They might not need the app in the first instance, but we always give them a high-level visibility of where their emergency response system sits right now. And once we give them that, then obviously we can come up and we can give them this full portal, and the apps come with it. So it depends on how many users they have and how many, like if one of the organizations was had around 1,200 users, which is a lot. So 1,200 people were looking after more than 40,000 staff. So wow. We are looking at an organization at that level. And a 40,000 staff organization, 1,200 users will use all this data, and they will take people out of the building safely, all of their assets, and bring them back in. So this is the level of engagement we are looking at. So we give them a subscription of 3 years, plus, you know, they can extend it to another 2 years, so 3+2 and all that. And then whatever R&D we are doing, we actually keep on adding these add value factors, which, you know, in an emergency space, you know, exactly the same as, you know, the Ubers and the Airbnb, they keep on adding the features. So we will keep on adding the features without any cost, because we are in that space. We know our space. So the people with me, like Bruce Beasley, Andrew Stark, so the people are in emergency management space. They already done their 30 years, 35 years of service with emergency services. So we are keep on evolving all these multi-asset definitions of how emergency should be responding back to. And that's where we are at. But I will quickly show you how easily it is for you to create an emergency. So once I create an emergency, yeah, these are two screens. I got the person who will be responding back, or who will be taking over the whole view of emergency. He'll be guiding this person how what needs to be done.
Okay.
In any emergency. Okay. So right now, within their hand, they got almost every single element which will help them for emergencies. So we got in there, you got emergency procedures, you got ECLs, which is emergency contact list. So rather than you looking through the papers, who is your emergency contact list? You know who is your closest. If I open emergency contact list, you know who are your first aiders? Who are your emergency response people? What is your closest hospital? What is your closest medical center? What is the closest fire station? So all of that in the palm of your hands.
Wow.
Because you got access to this sort of information now. You can make the right decision or an informed decision in an emergency.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And then you got your site details. You know, who's your security officer at site? Who is the person who's responsible to take people in and out? So all of that in the palm of your hand. We're given every single thing. And then I will just go back and maybe I'll show you some of the context in there, which is your evacuation diagrams. So if you need to know what is your evacuation diagrams look like, you can actually see what is your evacuation diagram. Rather than you looking through the wall and finding out where your evacuation diagram is, it's in the palm of your hands, right there.
I love it. It's revolutionary. Everybody better get on board, big companies. You better get on board with this, because I could just see how many lives this is going to shape. Did you have experience in training in software development, or you're kind of outsourcing that, working with a team of brains?
We, as a company, have got our own app developers, not just the app developer. We got the Node.js's and the other software developers as well. So we got a complete team of 21 who looks after all of our, how we develop the app and how we deploy the app on a particular asset as well. Would we have created this as a model, as a SaaS model, SaaS, which is software as a service? So if we go into any of the sites, we just look into the site and we can quickly deploy within 72 hours. So that's how quickly we can deploy in any of the assets, depending on, you know, where the site is, obviously, and the audit reports and stuff like that. But
what you doing? You got an emergency there in the background? What's your wife cooking? What's she doing? Okay, so what I need for you to do is show them really quickly, though. Create that emergency for us.
Okay, so what I will do, I'm just pressing this button for 5 seconds, and I can create any emergency, including a lockdown or an active shooter as well. It's asking me what sort of emergency it is. If I create a fire emergency,
oh,
and press next. It's asking me which floor is affected by that fire emergency. I can select that, and I can also select where I need to send the people to, which emergency place, which is their rescue place, or we call it, you know, assembly area, where you want to send them.
Right.
If I confirm, you can.
Wow.
Because the emergency has been created, and this person has got the notification straight away.
Wow. Yeah. Okay. And this is me flashing the number one that I have a fire, and I put in all that information, and now it's going right to the person, the chief warrant officer, the person that's the head person in charge.
So the head person in charge is here. You can see his screen. He knows exactly what is happening right now. And the same thing we have replicated for, you can see on the screen. So the chief warden, Ned, has started an emergency. And this person is a floor warden on the second floor. And what time? There's a timestamp on it.
Right. Wow.
And if this person is evacuating, this person is giving how many peeps are there? How many emergency people are in there? It's just simple numbers. This person puts the simple numbers and submit, done. Press yes. Look at that. So this person is now evacuated.
Within one minute, Brains, are you looking at this timeline here? This is crazy good.
Yep. And once the floor is clear, which means this person has now taken everybody on the floor and taken them out of the stairwell, you know, taken that the stairwell or taken them to the exit part and all that, but the floor is now clear. So this person, what has to do? He has to press yes, my floor is clear. But it's asking him again, you know, it's not an accident. It's asking him again whether this is the right thing. He says, are you sure? He says yes. And now you can see on your main screen, you can see the floor is clear. And the same information is shared with this app as well. And you can share this app with an emergency response people. And they know exactly how many floors have been cleared, how many people are still in the building, how many peeps are there, everything in the palm of your hand. You don't have to go through those book logs and stuff.
Wow. This is really, really amazing.
Once these people reach at the meeting point is a place where they feel safe or they all collectively get together, and then they count the people as well. Then you know how many people are there and all that. Once they say yes, and the meeting point, so it's asking them, are you sure you're at the meeting point? And this person says, yes, I am at the meeting point. And look at that. And you can see on the main screen, it says at the meeting point. So this person has reached the meeting point, which means now this person is safe, being accounted for, all the floor has been clear, and the emergency responders will see their screen. Right? So they say, this person is on the meeting point. So if you look closely, you will see how many peeps and how many people have refused to go as well. Once they have reached the meeting point, now the chief warden has to make the decision. So emergency responders come into the building, they check what was the cause of the fire or what was the reason why they have to evacuate all the people. Was it a false alarm? Was there a smoke detector went off? Was there a sprinkler system which was faulty on that floor? So they check everything. And once they do that, this person will give all clear to everybody, which means everything has been cleared off by the emergency responders.
But obviously they'll also be able to warn them if there's additional hotspots, if there's, you know, potential for the roof to cave in, all of that, because you want to save the life of the first responders equally as you do the people that are trapped inside.
Yes. But the emergency responders are equipped to deal with the situations like these. Yeah. But the information has already gone to them. They already know that there's no one there right now who they have to look after on that floor to make sure that the floor is now safe. So once they say, are you sure you have given all clear? It has been all clear, been given to these people. Yeah.
Wow.
And then you give them a repopulate. This is where our innovation was up till this day. This is an invention right now. So now we are in the part in this app, within this app, we are at the stage of invention. That's where we have the patents for. So this process does not sit with the standards right now, which I have, you know, already communicated with, that you need to bring the people back in safely as well. So that is very important part. So if I select the flow and I say repopulate,
okay,
this person will get a message straight away. And it says, all clear has been given, declared. Please proceed to your floor and relocate. And if I acknowledge that, now it's asking me, once I have repopulated, once I go back to my desk, and it's giving me these numbers here as well, that we are repopulating right now. If I say I'm repopulated, it says, are you sure? And then I have to rate the emergency, that how good this response was. This does not exist in today's day. Like, it's like you are sharing your first-hand experience, how you felt during that emergency.
Wow.
What can be done better next time?
You're doing this real time. You're at a blur in an emergency. You're trying to catch your breath. You're still trying to see if everybody is okay. You're dealing with the family. You're trying to get back to normal. But here, you can just tap this right in, boom, 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 and go sit down for a minute.
And then I can end the emergency and both of us go back to our normal screens and the emergency has ended.
Well, this is absolutely beautiful. And like I said, you know, I thank you for having the bandwidth and the wherewithal to, you know, care enough about others to invest your time, your energy, build a team, and money. Things like this, you know, you can't put a price on it. You cannot put a price on how many lives this can save, the impact of that. And you have been such a guardian angel to other individuals to be able to, you know, help them figure it out because you've been there yourself. Let's go back to the regular screen. There you go. So you said that your wife is a big part of this too. I know that she's your supporter. What has been her role in helping you come up with this? It's called evacuation.
It's called evacuation. So it's an innovation in how you evacuate.
Oh, okay. All right. I got it. So this is great. So where do you see this going? I mean, long term. You're in Australia now, and you're working with clients. I know you're trying to build this out to work with clients globally. That's going to be a lot of work. But again, you can do a lot of things virtually because they can send you the stuff online. You don't have to be there. You can be virtual.
Currently, we've got a lot of interest coming from Middle East as well. So from Saudi, there has been a ministerial power who actually contacted us. They wanted to see what sort of you know, applications we can provide them in an emergency. So as in from Dubai as well. The people have come from Netherlands, from UK, from US, Canada. So these people started contacting us to see, you know, what we can provide them with, how we can replicate the same model, which is emergency management model of Australia, and replicate that to their country standards. Because a lot of countries have got different standards of how they manage the emergencies. And obviously, you know, it all depends on the disaster profiling as well. You know, in Australia, you don't get too many of earthquakes. While if you talk about the Asia Pacific, the other Pacific part of the region, you see there's a lot of earthquake coming. So they have to be really careful about how they manage the earthquake emergencies. The same thing goes on with, you know, you've been in US, you know, that LA fires are very, very, you know, they're quite dangerous fires.
Yeah.
And they have to have that, you know, the proper protocols for how to deal with these bushfires. When you look at the emergency response systems in Middle East, you have to look after the not only because they got a different system in place as well within their that emergency response. So you need to look into those systems, and you can replicate the same model for their country.
Right. And then the design and architecture is a lot different. Just like you said, in Asia Pacific, I was in the airport in Japan, and I mean, it was two earthquakes. And it was really right. It was rocking like this. And they were just walking around like it was normal. I was a nervous wreck. The whole building is glass. But some of them are built on casters to roll. So you have to understand their, you know, their engineering and their design. Again, their evacuation. And you have to be have this in different languages. Everybody doesn't speak English or, you know, so it's a lot to put into it. But I tell you, it is worth it. An airport. A movie studio here in, you know, California. I could just see this being in so many places. Thank you so much, Rashid, for being here on The Edge with My Brains. Please tell them how we can get in contact with you so they can get more information. I am going to slice and dice and do some promo and really try to get this out because I want people to take advantage of it. I want you to win with this. This is, again, you know, and just imagine using artificial intelligence with this. Crazy good.
We are doing a lot of R&D in the background of how we can see the data from a different perspective. So we got an artificial intelligence layer sitting on top of the city. If we are looking after a city, we'll see where the hot spots are and where the temperature has risen up through these artificial intelligence measuring up of the temperatures. And we see exactly where the fires are happening. And we can communicate with the people within those areas to see how they can make themselves safe. And can save someone else's life too.
Yeah, because you know, we have our emergency broadcast system where it comes on once a month and it beeps and it tells you. But the fire could be, you know, in harm's way by the time you get that or by the time you get the evacuation. But you can tell us what direction it's moving in, how fast it's moving, what is already devoured. What are the evacuation routes for people to take? Because, you know, sometimes it's one way in or one way out. What's the best way? What's the congestion like? The freeway? Oh, my God. This is just the business. It's the business. So, again, tell them how to get in contact with you, friend.
So they can log into our website as well, www.evacuation.com. So that is one of our major websites. So you can look through the website. There's a lot of contact things in there. And there's, you know, testimonials of the people who have used this app and clients as well. So you can see through that. We've got some really good clients within Australia too, but we are looking to expand this because what I truly believe in is when you got a part which can save someone's life, you should not simply hold it to yourself as a country.
Right.
I think this message has to go across the globe for the people to understand because the way the technology is moving, it's moving so quick. Why not use this to save lives?
Absolutely. And the life you save, brains, could be your own. Thank you so much again for being here with me on The Edge. We appreciate you. We value you so much. Brains, I need you to go in and subscribe. Go in and get information about evacuation. So that you can share this with your boss. You know, that might be some brownie points for you. You might get that on your evaluation. And also, you might be able to lend some information to them. They're always looking. They're doing research and development. I can't wait to see. I don't know if you're going to be on the American stock market, but if you are, I'm an investor, okay? So thank you so much again from the bottom of my heart for everything that you do. Okay?
Thank you so much, April, for having me. And looking forward to the brains to connect. Because that's where the real power stays.
That's right. Thank you so much. All right, brains, get it together. Be safe. Bye-bye.